Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev, on this first day of June. Hallelujah.
And hallelujah.
The most effective way to develop successful people skills is by allowing the irresistible charm of Jesus to flow through you to every person you meet, giving you supernatural favor. The favor of God allows you to walk in any room, meeting, venue, or anywhere else with the absolute confidence in knowing that our great God, Jehovah, is flowing through you. On yesterday's call, we began talking about seven practical skills that you can utilize in winning friends and influencing people. Let's do a brief review. Number one, show yourself friendly. Show yourself friendly. Hebrews 13:2, Classic Amplified. Do not forget or neglect or refuse to extend hospitality to strangers. In the brotherhood, being friendly, cordial, and gracious, sharing the comforts of your home, and doing your part graciously and generously, for through it some have entertained angels without knowing it. We encourage you to be the kind of friend that you'd want to have.
Number two, be confident in your body language. Our body language should reflect who we are in God. How do we find really what our body language is saying to other people? Sometimes we just need to look in the mirror. Assess how you look when dealing with various emotions, and you'll know how you are appearing to other people.
Number three, keep your voice pleasant. Make a decision to keep your voice pleasant, regardless of your conversation. A pleasant voice can change even a hostile conversation and environment. Proverbs 16:24, Classic Amplified Bible says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. Your manner of speech sends a message about you, whether you realize it or not. Now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call.
Number four, be an effective witness, not a weird one. We've always had a passionate interest. Well, my husband for sure is in politics. We met in politics.
Yes, we did.
And frankly, he's really good at determining political strategy. And years go by, really, he was a political consultant to a number of different people. However, it may come to a surprise to you that we don't really watch, you know, the television for political news. And the reason is pretty simple. They're so rude. They just have an apparent lack of manners displayed by, I don't care who, what party, what, you know, television station. We consider people talking over each other in very poor taste, to say the least. You know, you can disagree with people politically, but you need to give them the courtesy of at least hearing their viewpoint, even when it's not the one that you have or think is totally right. As you might imagine, you know, everybody has their own views. Being an effective witness basically has nothing to do with handing out tracts either. I'm switching over to our Christian living. And being confrontational about, you know, your approach to people trying to, well, shove everything down their throat. The point of it is we need to live what we believe and let our lives speak as epistles, as Paul used to say in, when he was writing, as to who we really are. Because when we live our lives in such a way that the fruit of the Spirit is evident to people, that's the greatest witness we have, a Spirit-led lifestyle. That's what coworkers, friends will seek out godly advice when they're going through tough times. When we live our lives showing that we have God at the center and he is the one who's answering the questions we have. 1 Peter 3:15, Classic Amplified. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your heart set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. Christians are not called to be abrupt, abrasive, or inappropriate in the words they speak as a witness or in life. Ephesians 4:29, Classic Amplified says, "Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it."
Number 5, be a listener. Some years ago, I read a survey where people speak to the needs and interests of other people. They only do it about 3% of the time. The other 97% of the time, they were more preoccupied with their own thoughts and feelings than those of anybody else. Number of times, on somewhat frequent basis, we point out that the word listen also creates the word silent. And we ask this question, do you think there's a reason why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth? It's recommended that we should listen twice as much as we talk. James 1:19, Classic Amplified Bible. Understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. We think it's significant that James 1:19 begins with the word understand. We're told to understand before we're told to be ready listeners. In 15 different scriptures, it says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Here's another quote from Dale Carnegie, who once said, talk to someone about themselves and they'll listen for hours. We gave you that yesterday, but it bears repeating. There's an old saying, people never care what you know until they know how much you care. People's perception of how much you care is often guided by how well you listen. We encourage you to go to heraldhearing.com and search for the teaching 7 Keys to Being an Effective Listener. It'll bless you.
And number 6, be prepared. Stop waiting, stop procrastinating, get up and just do something about it. Ezekiel 38:7 in the New Living Translation says, get ready, be prepared. Keep all the armies around you mobilized and take command of them. As you begin this journey, if there is a little time that you don't know what to do, we say follow the advice of General Joshua in Joshua 5:14, this in the New Living Translation. He was asked what things were about, and he was asked whether the commander of the Lord's army was a friend or foe, and he goes, neither one. He replied, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. At this time, Joshua fell on his face in the ground in reverence. I am at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? If we don't know what to do, we need to ask God about it and, well, be ready to listen.
He'll tell us.
A ready listener. Exactly. It says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to God and he will answer you.
That's right.
The World English Dictionary defines preparation as the act or process of preparing and the state of being prepared or in readiness. Preparation is a mental decision before it becomes a practical reality. Before any well-trained soldier goes into battle, they're going to have to inspect their equipment, make sure they're fully prepared to face and defeat the attack of the enemy. In preparation for spiritual warfare, the most important thing we can do is sanctify ourselves for the battle. Joshua 7:13 in the New Living Translation tells us, get up, command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. So how do we purify ourselves from battle? Number 1, we enter into God's presence. Number 2, we read our instruction manual for a battle plan. Number 3, we repent of anything that we have done wrong. Number four, we eliminate doubt about the outcome of the mission. Number five, we receive our forgiveness. Number six, we determine who will be in the foxhole with us. Number seven, we get out in front of the battle by praising God. In Joshua 3:5, it should become our expectation for every day, meaning we start today. For he says, for tomorrow Jehovah will do wonders among you. We need to be ready for Jehovah to do wonders among us today. If we want to be successful, we can't ignore or minimize preparation time. The price for success is always paid in advance of our victory. We don't need to lose sight of that fact.
Number seven, build bridges, don't tear them down. A wise person will speak to every person they meet. You'll ask the name of your server at the restaurant or the cashier at the dry cleaners. You'll want to know the name of the customers in your office. Even better if you know the names of their spouse and children. Always seek to build bridges to other people, whether they seem significant or insignificant at the moment. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The scripture is talking about building bridges. James Buchanan Brady, a New Yorker who lived in the early 1900s, was affectionately known to his friends as Diamond Jim. He was amazingly successful. As the story goes, he was one of the first businessmen to ever use an expense account to develop relationships. Diamond Jim had a lot of friends, money, and respect. He had three rules for personal success. First, win the trust of others by being trustworthy. Second, win the respect of others by being respectful. And third, win the friendship of others by being friendly. One last word from us. Never burn bridges with friends or acquaintances. You'll never know when you'll be traveling that road again. Colossians 3:13, Classic Amplified. Be gentle and forgiving with one another. If one has a difference in grievance or complaint against another, ready pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so you must also forgive. This kind of attitude will definitely give you the reputation as a person with irresistible people skills.
Amen.
And that's what we've been talking about.
We need to remember that the way in which we conduct our lives reflects Jesus, not just who we are, but who he is in us. And that, well, that makes a lot of difference.
Yes, it does. So until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.